Welcome to the Soul Garden, where we explore the inner and the outer workings of living in a connected world. My name's Georgina Langdale, and I'm the founder of the Centre for Nature Connection, and it's really great to have you here. I've got another really special episode. My guest is Jackie Butler, who is a graduate of my course, The Natural Carer. And she's just the most beautiful person and therapist. And I just wanted to share her magic with you here. We're going to be looking at craniotherapy, energy, oneness, nature, and supporting each other in life, in death, and in life after death.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Georgina.
Good. Jackie, so Jackie is in the beautiful location of Richmond in Motueka in the Tasman district. So for those of you who aren't familiar with New Zealand, it's in the top of the South Island and it's just gorgeous. Lucky person living in such a beautiful natural environment.
Yeah, stunning.
Jackie's with me today because we first met when Jackie was studying with me with the Natural Carer course, which is for end-of-life care. I think of it as nature, compassion, and soul and care at the end of life. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But I have to say that Jackie came to the course just with this beautiful energy and her own really fascinating work and connection to people and to nature. And I wanted to share a little bit of her magic with you out there today. Jackie, you're a biodynamic cranial sacral therapist, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm sure that there are probably quite a few people out there that don't know what that means. So for those that aren't familiar with this term, can you describe what you do and what this modality is all about?
Yeah, I'll just call it cranio because the rest of it's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah. It's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
it has its origins in osteopathy, which is a little bit more mainstream, and basically what we do is listen and sense what's going on in someone's body by placing our hands on the body, and we slow down our own nervous systems using various techniques, and the client's body will often mirror that and slow down itself. So once the body's in a peaceful state, it is able to engage its own intelligence and own ability to bring itself back into balance. And what we sense and feel in the body is the body making adjustments to make sure that it's in alignment and that the systems are working together well.
So could you give some examples of different sort of instances that somebody might use cranio for?
It's very strongly highlighted with anxiety type disorders, post-traumatic stress, working alongside other modalities such as counselling or psychiatric care. I've worked with certainly very helpful in pregnancy with newborn babies. Obviously that's quite a huge transition. Mm. And that can help. Cranio can help the body just come back into balance after those events. Also with injuries, structural issues, sleep issues, it's often a lot of body systems combined that create an issue within the body. We find it's best to leave the body to sort those systems out itself and come back into balance in its own way.
Right.
Often so much is involved.
So if somebody were coming to you with anxiety, I mean, gosh, that's such a rising problem these days in this crazy old world we've got right now. So if they came to you saying, look, I'm just really out of sorts and anxious, I can't sleep, What happens?
It's kind of unique to everybody what's causing their anxiety, whether it's a deep-rooted trauma from the past or just environmental or stress-related. So the length of time would be different for everybody. I think initially because the old brain is in that flight, fight, freeze mechanism, and it gets stuck in that pattern and refers to that pattern whenever something triggers that anxiety. It's a process of remembering how a well-regulated nervous system works, and when the body recognises that and repatterns to that, it's able to release the tendency to go into the fight and flight response.
You're making me think of Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief. Yes. And he talks about that kind of almost like that epigenetic stuff that's written into our system that can create these patterns of anxiety or behaviors and things. Am I right in thinking there's a relationship between things like his ideas and cranio?
Yes, definitely, because with epigenetic trauma, that doesn't change your DNA, but it changes what parts of your DNA are active or overactive. For instance, with my own personal experience, my grandfather, who was a gunner in the war, and he had an extreme sensitivity to sound. And I had that myself, and didn't make the connection until I started with this work, that I was actually referring back to that DNA, the telomeres on the DNA that were overactivated, basically, or engaged.
Yeah.
So it definitely has a big part to play in trauma. You know, what people, which people will respond in what way to certain triggers. One person may have no response or very little response and return to their balance, and another person may have a very severe response to the same trigger.
So for you working as a therapist, what was it that really spoke to your heart about craniotherapy?
I think in the training is really quite intensive with I trained with the body intelligence, and the training is very intensive. We have approximately every 2 months a 5-day seminar where we are receiving and treating every day, and I just noticed the extraordinary shifts in my own sense of well-being from those treatments, and quite profound reactions as well as things shifted and moved and saw that balance within myself. And once you go through that process and understand that there is a way to feel more joy in life for yourself, I really want that for other people. So it's not just a physical, a therapy that affects you physically. It's a really holistic therapy that, and because all our systems are interacting, both in the body and the mind and the soul, it's something that treats all of those things, or that provides space for all of those things to interact and improve your life from that perspective. Mm-hmm.
It's funny you say that. I have had cranio given to me a few times, and my experience has always been, it's almost like the sense of something profound has happened, but I can't quite put my finger on it. But it does shift things. But one of the things that I really remember that I thought was extraordinary about it was I went to somebody years ago in London, and she was just had her hands on my head, I think. And anyway, she said, it was very lovely, actually. And then she said, oh, have you had a really big head injury? And I said, well, no, I can't remember. Ha, ha, ha. And, she said, no, you've had a significant head injury. And I was like kind of leaking energy or something from it. And I ended up asking my mother if I'd had anything, an injury when I was little. And she said, oh, yes, you fell down the stairs of a house in the UK. And I was in hospital for a few days. What I found fascinating about that for me is I am just terrified of heights. And I always had these wisps of memory of falling through the air and tumbling and kind of hitting a stair and hitting a wall and bouncing and tumbling. But I didn't know what they were. And just even the process of this craniotherapist kind of pinpointing an old injury, an energy leak, and then me finally being able to piece it together with information from my mother and then from my own sort of subconscious, that in itself was incredibly healing, because suddenly I found I had an answer for something that I hadn't been able to put my finger on before. Just for people who are interested, so if they're going to invest in going to you or another craniotherapist, what do you advise they think of in terms of the number of treatments and things that they might have to have?
I think they, it can vary according to the person and how much, we call it how many resources they've got available within their own body. Mm-hmm. So if somebody has been living a very PTSD life and their stress levels are always high, bringing the systems back to a well-regulated nervous system is going to take a little bit of time because it's a very well-entrenched pattern. But in that sense, what I would normally do is suggest to my clients, depending on what they're coming to me with, is can you commit to 3 sessions? And typically after the 3rd session, we would readdress and see where to go to from there.
Right.
So, yeah, I think sometimes it's part of people's process to do, 3 sessions of cranio and then go away and do some personal explorations with other modalities and even just living life and letting those cranios settle in their system and letting their system adjust and integrate to what has happened. And then they might come back again, so it's so unique and specific to everybody.
Can you give some examples of things that you've worked with craniotherapy for and the kind of the outcomes of it?
I could probably talk about my own experiences.
Okay, yeah.
Freely. Just thinking. I've had ongoing back issues and so have worked with my colleagues on working with those issues. And of course they're very multi-layered. I have an accident 2 years ago, but actually underneath that there was something that happened 10 years ago. And then underneath that, and what I've found with the back issues is they're related to birth trauma for me. And I had a difficult arrival, and within that trauma, it wasn't treated well afterwards. So you can have a difficult arrival, but if it's well managed afterwards, then the trauma kind of won't stick. You manage to release the energy you need to release at the time rather than holding it with you. And so going through those layers with the cranio, this is stuff that I could not remember cognitively because I had no cognitive ability at birth, but they have slowly been, the layers have come off and we've been able to trace it back to that initial birth trauma, and so the back improves.
Wow.
And
do you do work with newborns?
I have done work with newborns. It's a very specific area in that I think, like death transition, it's something in a way that you're born to do. And I enjoy working with babies, but it's not the bulk of my work. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that actually brings us nicely on to the whole circle of life, the birthing in into and the birthing out of life. As I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, we met because you came and studied with me with the natural carer end of life care course. So I'd love to know, it's been a few months now since the time of this interview. It's a few months since we finished that training. Yeah, I'm really curious to see how you're hoping to be able to, and how you have helped people in care at the end of life, and how you see these different techniques and things coming together.
What attracted me to end of life care was a series of synchronicities, really, that it just kept coming across my path. And I just, because of my own personal beliefs and those transitions and what happens afterwards and the life cycles in general, it gives me a lot of peace around the process, the death transition. And I really would love to share that with other people. And I think because of the craniosacral therapy training, it would enable me to bring that peace into the room. And there's so much anxiety around death, and so because it really challenges people to look at their life, and that's really not that much fun to do if you've never done any work on the things that you've struggled with. So it can be a big push at the end of your life to try and get those things resolved. And I think that peaceful calm energy that cranio brings into it is really important. I think assisting families with that distress is important, and I know there is a lot of anxiety with the patient. As the body is dying, there's a lot of autonomic nervous system kicking in and creating reactions within the body that aren't associated with thought. They're associated with the body's distress at what's happening within it. And I think if the nervous system is able to be calmed, those bodily reactions can calm as well, and that makes it a much more peaceful experience for everybody.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. One of the things that drew me also to this end of life care work is trying to reset our relationship with death and dying and bring it back as part of that natural life cycle. And I think part of that is also not just kind of facing up to the realities of death and dying at the very end of life, but accepting them earlier on so we can kind of communicate and plan and talk and help reduce the fear. What I loved about what you were saying about cranio was, as you were then talking about the end of life care, I got this beautiful image of the cranio helping people kind of shed the layers of life trauma and regret even, or fears and things. It's almost part of that metamorphosis process into the death transition. I thought that was really beautiful. Where do you see nature coming into this equation as well? We've talked about this a lot in the course. So again, I'm just really interested to hear the kind of weaving in of all of this with the work that you do.
With cranio, there's a real acknowledgement that we are part of, all of our systems are interact together. And nature is very much part of that. And nature itself doesn't exist as individual aspects. It's a symbiotic relationship of everything. And I think that's reflected in ourselves. It's in nature. And I think that what nature reminds us on a subliminal level is that we're all connected. And I think in death, sometimes people don't feel that connection. They feel disconnected from the process of life. So then they then have a lot of fear around what's going to happen. And the beautiful thing about nature, just like our bodies, is that it will do what it needs to do to bring itself into balance. So if the wildfires in Australia, for instance, and the regrowth that happens after them, it has this really beautiful ability to do what it needs to do to come back into balance. Mm. And observing that in nature is just a reminder to our own systems about how we need to do that. And a death transition reminds us of that. It's time to bring that balance back. I just love how nature provides us with all the things that we need. You know, we're talking about the plant essences in particular, and I just think of when I walk in a stand of totara and I look up at them and I feel that strength, and it's a feeling. It's not something that you can really describe without feeling it. You have to be there and feel it and know that that's the essence of that tree. That's what it brings forth for me. And reminding myself that we are part of that, that nature is part of me, that, and it brings in that whole oneness and connectedness again. And when you're using those essences, it's like it's triggering something inside of you that's already there, that intelligence that's already there, but it's been kind of plastered over.
Yeah, exactly.
With modern living, you know? But we all know it. We all know how wonderful it is to sit at the beach when we're on our holidays, or to sit in the bush, or whatever it is that you do that brings you joy in nature. And
yeah, it's funny. I find when I'm working with people in all sorts of contexts, and you know, in life and at the end of life, helping them kind of reconnect to that feeling of connectivity they have to a landscape they love, to a tree they love, to a plant they love, can be really beautiful medicine for someone, particularly if, you know, they are ending up in a hospital setting or something and they need, it can be incredibly helpful to help them find tools to reconnect themselves with that natural environment. Also, in terms of energy, and you know, cranial, as I'm hearing, is energy work. Everything has its own energy and its own vibration and connection, and some we resonate with personally and some we don't, but we can find a kind of kindred energies in nature around us, and that can become a really profound part of that kind of healing intervention for people. And I do think of healing at the end of life. Some people, I think, find that a bit of a oxymoron or something. What? Healing? But you're dying. But actually, what you're saying with cranio and what we're saying with the work we do at the end of life, we can do a lot to help people heal at a soul level, really, isn't it? It's something deeper, something that moves through generations and things.
Yeah, I think so. And I think one of the things that cranio does, because we're expanding our awareness out into the field, so we're expanding further out from just ourselves and out into what people would call the oneness, I guess. Being able to help a patient or a client expand out to that oneness themselves reminds them that they are connected. And that is such a beautiful and peaceful feeling. It's like going home. I'm not alone. And I think dying can be a very lonely process for people who don't have that sense of connectedness. That sense of oneness with everything. And once you expand out beyond your physical body and realize that you are connected, it brings the peace, because your body, your whole system becomes at peace. Oh yeah, that's right. We're all part of one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many people throughout time have talked about this concept of oneness, and I think we forgot it somewhere along the way over the last few centuries, and you know, in Western thought, and we're getting it back again, but it was there. And when you look at people like Marsilio Ficino in the 1400s in Florence, he used to say, you know, we are a microcosm of the macrocosm. And so, again, for me, when you were talking about cranio, I was thinking about ecosystems. And our body is an ecosystem of different systems. We've got our endocrine system and our, you know, our digestive system and our nervous system and all of these things, but they're all interrelated. And they're all seeking their balance within themselves and within each other. And it made me then think out to the world and of the different ecosystems, of the different systems within the world, you know, whether it's water or soil or whatever is it, whether these different systems are all trying to find a balance. Ficino, I would say, by this idea of microcosm to macrocosm, is what, if we see what's going on within us, we can see it also reflected in the world outside of us. Paracelsus, Hildegard von Bingen, Hippocrates, everybody. There has been this long understanding of this reflection and symbiosis. So I always go, yay, whenever I see therapists and things working to help people reconnect with that through, and the joy of it is we can all find the modalities that sit with us as well. Mm. Somebody may come to you, someone else may go to a shamanic practitioner.
They're just different approaches using the same philosophies, I think, in many ways.
Yeah. One of the things I'm loving teaching the natural care end of life care course is that people going through the course in different parts of the world, here in New Zealand, in the US, all over the place, and from different walks of life and different cultural backgrounds. And what I am really loving is there comes a point where suddenly there's this, we're all ending up in the same place, but with different language, different cultural reference points, different traditions, but same place, oneness, unity, energy, connection to nature, seeing ourselves in nature, working with what nature can teach us about our own lives. I think it's a really, it's very powerful, and it's encouraging, I think, to see that happening. Do you have in your work a sort of dream or a picture of what healthcare, you know, in the 21st century may look like, for, you know, in an ideal world?
I think I would love to see it more integrative and a lot more respect given to the knowledge that has existed on this planet for a very, very long time. Each approach to health care has its own merits, and I would like to see that mutual respect come back in, and definitely has to be holistic. You cannot, in my opinion, treat one part of an illness without taking into account the entire organism. And we know this from the planet. We know the planet's just a reflection of us. And, you know, you dam up a river, you get trouble upstream. It's you know, it's a really simple concept, and it's disappeared out of our tradition, out of our allopathic healthcare systems, and not with everybody, but it's certainly there. And I would love to see, you know, more integration. When somebody's suffering from trauma, it's not a surface thing. It's a body thing. It's a mind thing. And it's even, as we've discovered with epigenetics, it's a, you know, it's a intergenerational thing. And I think all of these treatments that are available, they need to work together. So it's a wraparound. I'd like to see the wraparound care come in.
Yeah. Let's bring it on, I say.
It's really disappointing to see some treatments disregarded because they're not well understood or they don't fit within a certain framework of science. And what we're seeing is science going forward dramatically. There's so much research available now as to working in the field and epigenetics, and I'd just love to see that more acknowledgement and more use of that.
Yeah. You're making me think about different philosophies like Buddhism and shamanism and druidry and so many others, you know, name words, but this idea of non-duality, of oneness. Mm-hmm. And then we have this, you know, the dualism thought that comes through. And you see this kind of writ large in the health system, don't you? Between there's the allopathic system, mm-hmm. and then there is the other, the complementary, and it becomes very dualistic. And both have real benefits.
Yes, absolutely.
And both have shortcomings at times as well. But yeah, like you say, it would be wonderful to get a oneness mm-hmm. within the health system again. And I have to ask, because I'm curious, for you, what were the big takeouts for you from doing the natural carer training to act as a complement to your work?
I think the natural carer training really brought me back into my heart. And I think there's probably been times where I've closed it off. I can kind of activate myself when I'm working and doing the cranial work. But actually living with heart is really, really hard because, you know, if your heart's open, things happen and you get hurt. And so I think there's a very natural tendency with many people to shut down a little bit around that. And what the natural carer highlighted for me was, you know, if you live with heart, you can die with heart. And when you have that heart connection, people feel it. It's a wonderful way to connect with people. And children are great at spotting this. If somebody's trying to connect with them and they're not being in their heart space, they know how they feel about that. And they, you know, they're really quite often quite vocal about it.
Yeah.
So I think that was one really, really big thing. It brought a sacredness to life that perhaps at times I've avoided. It made me feel reconnected. I've always felt really connected to nature, but it made me really look at those life cycles and look at really the fact that the earth that I live on is part of me. And I guess it's quite an indigenous approach to nature, and it feels so right and so integral to who I am. But I think during life, you know, you just get sort of pushed away from that connection a lot. So I think connecting back into nature was a really, really big aspect. And how much balance it brings. Yeah. And how many gifts we have with nature. You know, there's so much that we can draw from to help our own journeys, and it's all there. It's just outside. Just get out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Go take a walk.
Yeah. But the other thing was rituals. Mm. I really recognised, you know, after some of the experientials that we did with you and the sacredness of those moments with somebody who was dying, and just to the sacredness of being still with it and letting it just unfold, because I think too often if people... when people die, it's just, oh, well, they're gone now, and you don't sit with it.
Yeah.
Sit with them. And
yeah.
The moment. So slowing down.
Slowing down. Mm. You know, the whole slowing down thing comes through a lot with people, and it's hard. It can be hard, can't it, to try and get people to think about the slowing down. Because I think fear and panic make us kind of naturally speed up. But that end of life space is a space where, you know, where slowing down becomes so beautiful and so sacred. And I think more and more now of it helping. I have this sort of circle of life, death, life. Because death and dying is not just about the person dying, although obviously they are the focus of it. It's about the people left behind as well. So how we navigate that dying process for the ones that are being left behind, that slowing down, that ritual, that finding their loved one in nature because they know they love that totara tree or whatever it is, can become a very powerful part of that process. And I think it can really help with the life bit after death, you know, moving through grief and retaining connection. And I think the energetics of oneness also enable the bereaved to have a kind of, it changes grief in a way. I mean, grief is grief when we go through, you know, painful moments, and it comes and hits us at all sorts of times. But I've found in my personal experience that that idea of oneness means that even through all of the pain of grief, there opens up this beautiful richness of connection in life after death. And that can be incredibly healing in itself and really beautiful. I'm finding that the connection I have, like with both my parents who've passed and things, well, my mother, it's been 7 years, and our friendship and our bond is getting stronger and warmer and richer through working with energy, through working with soul. At the time of her death, it was just all horrendous. But this energetics and oneness has really gives us mechanisms for really not only being with our grief, but being with our loved ones in a whole new way.
Yeah.
Beyond grief. And as you say, that ritual, one of the things I love trying to show people is ritual can have a very big R or a very little lowercase R. It just depends who you are. And those moments leading up to death, at the time of death, after death, if we can create these ways of creating oneness through that, it's can be very powerful.
I think so. And I think it also is important for each individual soul to have that peace through the transition, or have that willingness to move on and that comfort in their connection with oneness, because if they have a lot of unresolved feelings or emotions at that point, they're not able to move on well, and it goes for the family as well. If there's a lot of energy holding on to that person who has died, the soul's not able to release very well either. And so we have all this discordant energy sitting about in the field that needs to resolve. And I think if we can, you know, live and die well, that solves that particular issue.
That's really beautiful. Thank you for that, Jackie. So, Jackie, if people are wanting to find you to come and, you know, maybe make an appointment, something with you, where do they find you?
You can look me up on my website, which is jackiebutler.nz, and that's jackiebutler.nz. All of my contact details are there.
Great, great.
The easiest way.
That's really wonderful. Oh, and can you do craniotherapy by distance?
We can use cranio skills by distance. So much like the shamanistic work you would be used to, remote healing work is slightly different. But we do use, I have done a postgraduate course in using cranio skills by distance via Zoom, and I can say it's very effective. It's a slightly different approach, but yeah.
That's so great for people to know, though, in this world of lockdowns and the kind of isolation of lockdown, but the connectivity of technology. So, Jackie, look, thank you so much. It's been really lovely having you with me today in the Soul Garden.
Thank you, Georgina. It's lovely talking to you again.
I said at the time when Jackie was doing the course with me that she has a special gift, and she does have a special gift, people.
Thank you.
We covered quite a bit of ground in that interview. What a delight having Jackie Butler joining me. As she mentioned, her web address is jackiebutler.nz. And if you're interested in finding out more about any of my courses like The Natural Carer or coaching and other training opportunities, I also offer training in plant essences, which we mentioned earlier on in the conversation. Check them out on my website at the Center for Nature Connection, which is georginalnature.com. Until next time, it's goodbye from me, Georgina, in the Soul Garden.